Welcome to the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction on News Talk 1310 WIPA. Have a question? Email it to edgeconstructionradio@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Sean Preble, on News Talk 1310 WIPA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show, brought to you by Edge Construction online, edgeconstructioncompany.com, all one word, great website. If you've been thinking about doing some remodeling, great stuff there as far as some of the projects they've been working on at Edge Construction. Also, fantastic links, House, Pinterest, Facebook, all of that great stuff at edgeconstructioncompany.com. Another really cool feature about the website is they're always updating it, so you can see the latest projects. You can also go back and look at some of the other featured projects as well with that sweet, sweet slider. So you can actually see the before and after, because it is pretty unbelievable, the work that they do at Edge Construction. But thinking about doing that remodel? They'd love to talk with you. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give them a call, 608-636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. And Mike, how you doing this morning?
Great, Sean.
It's good to talk with you, and we've got a fantastic conversation ahead about some lessons learned from somebody when it comes to renovation and still living in your house during a renovation. But before we get to this, each week before we come on the air, I like to poke around at the website. I do it even before the show during the week, and sometimes I get very distracted by some of the work that you guys do, and it's always really, really good stuff, and I'll see things and I'll go, oh, we haven't really talked about that particular aspect before. And this week, up on the website, you feature a modern bathroom renovation, but you also did the kitchen. And before we get to the bathroom, I really quickly want to talk about the kitchen, because I think sometimes people assume when we talk about remodeling and we talk about working with Edge Construction, you guys do the big projects. You guys do additions, you do big, big stuff and whole room, completely gut it down to studs and floorboards and that type of thing. And you're looking at me like you're sounding.
That's
like,
normally what we do.
Yes, exactly. But sometimes there's smaller projects for things that just could use an updating. And this kitchen is probably a prime example of this. Now, again, we'll talk about the bathroom, which was more than a little upgrade. But like the kitchen looks, the finished product on the kitchen is beautiful. And I guess I didn't realize that this was kind of a simpler project overall, correct?
This was. I mean, it's more subtle stuff. The homeowners had painted their cabinets a while back, and they liked them. They didn't have a problem with them. So they asked if we could do new tops, and their backsplash was kind of dated, and we got them some under cabinet lights. And then we did lighting in the kitchen. We rearranged the lighting in the kitchen and fixed the holes that were there and things like that. And then actually, you can't see this in the pictures, but in the end, they had sort of a family room with a vaulted ceiling. And that didn't have any lights, and so we got lights up there too. So that was kind of a challenge. So through the project, we ended up having to repair drywall and those two ceilings and paint those two ceilings. But that was the only painting we did. And then we, like I said, redid the backsplash, put new countertops, new sink and fixture, obviously. But that was pretty much it for the kitchen.
That's interesting. And I think of, like, you know, if you're able to retain cabinets now, there's obviously the modern cabinets are, I know the lines you guys carry, just how phenomenal they are. You really want to be cautious about some of this stuff. And I know you guys get a chance to kind of get in there and take a look at them. But if the boxes are still in solid shape and good shape and the homeowner's fine with them, that is something you guys are able to do, huh?
It is. We do maybe one or two of those a month, where we just come in and do a smaller facelift like that. Just what I'm talking about. Maybe add some light. Seems like we're always doing that.
Yeah.
Under cabinet lights, maybe some can lights in the ceiling, the LED cans that we put in. And then countertops and sink fixtures. I think it is a fine line. Usually when I'm looking at cabinets and people are saying, well, are they good enough to save? My first answer is always, yeah, they don't look too bad. And then when I start digging in, you find more problems. But there are some really well-made cabinets that are maybe just a little bit dated and people want to paint them, or they like their cabinets. They just don't like that robin's egg blue laminate countertop from 1991 or something. So then sink and fixture, that's kind of a no-brainer. I think a lot of times that's what leads to this kind of remodel. People go, you know what, right, I got this goofy shaped sink, or it's not deep enough, or I hate my fixture and we want to replace that. Do we do that and get a new sink? Okay, now our countertop's kind of, you know, we're looking at that. And it does really make quite a difference to do an updated backsplash and countertop.
That I was going to ask you about the countertops next, because that's kind of like the initial kind of thing that pulls your eye in is quartz. I'm guessing that's quartz countertop.
Quartz, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
It's a great upgraded look, and you know if you're able to save those cabinets and basically you mentioned lighting cabinet or lighting backsplash and countertops. It's a pretty You know, that's a when you talk about budget, that's a pretty affordable.
It's
upgrade.
Pretty fun, yeah. And actually, this quartz countertop, I think that's an MSI. They gave us three kind of white quartz countertops to sell a couple of years ago, and this is they've been very popular. The marble look is in. Of the three, I think this has the least amount of marbling, I guess. The gray veins going through it, it doesn't have quite as much. And it's really a reasonable price point. It competes well with granite, so it's not like some of the fancier quartzes are double the cost of granite. It's nothing like that. Competes really well. And it's really only about maybe twice the cost of a higher-end laminate countertop. So it fits in a lot of budgets, and luckily, it goes well with almost any design. Those lighter white countertops are I think here to stay for quite a while.
It looks really, really great. And as I was kind of making sure, because I will tell you, it's just as far as looking at the pictures are fantastic. But viewing, I could tell it was a solid surface. I wasn't 100%. That's why I'm like, it's got to be quartz. But I wasn't, which is probably the best compliment for any of this stuff. When you're looking at it, you're going, I'm pretty sure it's quartz. It could be real rock though.
Could be some. Well, I mean, the fact is the designs have got, because on quartz they pick a, it's not quite like this, but they take a picture of a granite in Scotland or Italy or something, and then they reproduce that countertop, and that it is kind of like that. The designs are getting better; they're less pixelated. You know, where you'd see little dots of things. The colors have gotten great. It looks like real stone. It's actually harder than real stone. Quartz is one of the hardest stones that there is. So I count it as a mostly natural product. I mean, it's not what it looked like when they dug it out of the ground, but it's a stone countertop. It's going to last longer than you and me, Sean.
I don't know if you want to use me as the standard for longevity, Mike. We'll save that for another. It looks beautiful. And then let's talk about the bathroom, because that is one of those spaces where it is. We talk about that slider and being able to see the before and after. The transformation there is simply unbelievable. And that was the first thing that actually caught my eye when we were just kind of getting ready to do the show this morning, was specifically the sink in the bathroom and just how it's a very, very cool layout. You got the double sink, and then you've got a cabinet space between the sinks, and I've never seen that exact design before, and I look at it and I go, I want that. It's really cool.
That really turned out, and the color of the cabinet, I don't know what you'd call it, kind of a steely blue maybe.
Yeah.
The color that the homeowners picked out, I really love. I mean, it's tough. I always say I don't really have that design gene to take a bunch of different products and put them in a pile and have something great come out. We have those designers, and they are fantastic. But I know what I like. I mean, like, I can look at this picture, you can look at this picture and go, wow, that's amazing. And even the fixtures, the homeowner picked out the mirrors and the light fixtures, but they showed some good taste there, I think. They go well with the plumbing fixtures and the cabinets.
It looks really – and check that out again. As we're talking this morning, head on over to edgeconstructioncompany.com. It's the modern bathroom remodel with kitchen updates, again, at edgeconstructioncompany.com. The biggest area, though, that I noticed differences is the before and after with the tub to the shower. And the tub was dated.
The tub was big and bad. It was massive.
It was lifted up on a platform.
It was.
And tiled,
it had a step. And it's, you know, You don't think they're going to miss that tub, do you?
No, I guarantee they're.
It's either, you know, have that tub or have an elephant in your bathroom. But the thing is big gray tub. It was indicative of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like this would have been seen as a very upgraded, nice bathroom in the 80s and 90s, and we tear a lot of these things out now. Once in a while, we run into somebody who goes, no, we use it all the time. We love it. The grandkids use it or whatever. But I like seeing them when we come in on the front end because it means we've got space to work with. So yeah. A lot of times in a bath, it's a small room, and it's like, well, if we're going to do a nice walk-in shower, we've got to steal a room from someplace else, maybe a closet or a bedroom on the backside. But when we see these big tubs, we go, oh, we got some square footage here we can use, figure it into the design. And so, yeah, it's fun. Did you notice, I was just going to bring it up, in the finished pictures, mm-hmm. It's worth looking at the shower. At first glance, you might think, well, it's a little bit boring, kind of a white subway tile. Meaning it's a rectangle tile. The tile that we used, I believe, is a 4-inch by 12 or 16-inch long tile. So it's pretty good sized tiles. But the floor is really cool. It's a, I don't know if I'd call it a mosaic. It's kind of an octagon, and that's a nice marble looking octagon mosaic. So it's pretty cool. It gives that shower just enough personality. I think, you know, when you've got a vanity that's got that deep color, mm-hmm. you wouldn't want a shower that's got another deep color, like, you know, crazy stuff going on. So it's got to be a little more subtle. So I think the vanity is probably the focus. But you get in that shower, you start looking at the details. Did you notice the handle is on the short wall, so you don't have to reach in?
I did. Now that I picked up on, I thought, how convenient is that? What I've got to ask with those that tile? Where did you guys find? Like, is that just there, or like?
Yeah, that's just one of the options that are out there. Mm-hmm. Our designers, basically, we work with a lot of the flooring companies in town. We buy from them and so we'll go and pull things that we think are cool from all the showrooms in town. I think it gives us such an advantage because we're really not tied into any certain manufacturer or distributor. If we find something cool, we generally are looking for things that are a decent price point. They don't have to be a dollar a foot, but I don't love it when we're filling our showroom with, you know, $15 or $20 a foot or $50 a foot tile, because it's not that we don't have that stuff. It's just that it doesn't mean it's going to be cool either. You know, if you can find the cool stuff, it fits in that maybe $5 a foot range for tile. That's kind of a 5 to 10 maybe is where we're shooting for. That's what fits into budgets. That's what makes sense. And a lot of times it's the cool stuff. Now, we did some, I'm not sure I could find it on our website, but we finished a very big job up in Bishop's Bay, fancy house, big. They picked out tile that was expensive, and which is their prerogative. Mm-hmm. But I like to say we work in kind of normal land. Like, we have a lot of good tradespeople. We want to keep them busy, and you can't just do the fancy stuff. Most of our jobs are in a house like this, real normal.
Can I ask too about, you mentioned the having the shower controls on that half wall like that? Is that something you're seeing more and more often? As I think standard, obviously, we always think of right below, which is, by the way, the worst. And I get, like, plumbing wise, it's probably on paper is the best way to do it. But as a user of a shower, having to stand underneath that shower to turn it on and fire it up every morning, it's never warm. It's always icy cold. Kind of gives that. With that, are we seeing more and more people saying, you know what, if we can find a way to incorporate the controls outside of that initial, and I'm going to call it a shower of terror. Can we do that? Do you see that often?
Yeah. So what you're getting at is normally you've got to walk all the way into the shower, mm-hmm. turn on, let it warm up because we live in Wisconsin, yeah. and it's cold here, and your arm is all wet or whatever, and it's just not comfortable. So if you looked at our pictures for the past few years, probably you would notice that most of the time we're trying to get the controls, the diverter, on the short wall where you first walk into the shower. So if we're doing a tile shower, that's where we're going to get it. This one, we were hemmed in by outside walls, which mm-hmm. we can't put controls on anyways. And we don't like to put a niche on the outside wall. So this one, we got the controls and the niche on kind of a 30-inch long short wall with glass on top of it, right where you walk in the shower. So much nicer to turn the water on and not get froze out.
Really convenient and a really nice feature there. One more thing while we're talking about the shower is that bench. It ties in perfectly. It fits perfectly. It's not too small. It's not too big. It seems to just be that perfect fit. What kind of material is that and kind of how did that come to be?
So we use it's called the Schluter system. So this is the orange stuff. If you ever see a house in progress or a tile job in progress, it's the Schluter came out with the membranes that everybody uses set up your shower. So we you can buy a pre-made Schluter bench. That one is made out of metal. And then we foam over the top and around it, and then tile around the top of that. So it kind of looks like it's just a suspended, but it's a very strong bench. You could stand on it. You could sit on it for sure. You can actually, I've seen the demonstrations where they actually make them out of 2-inch foam, and they have this special kind of caulky glue stuff that you glue it in the corner, and I'm like, I don't know. To me, I just go, I'd feel better using something more substantial, but I'm sure it works fine. That 2-inch foam is probably really rigid and strong, but I don't know. I'm not dancing on top of two-inch foam. So.
Well, the bathroom there looks fantastic. One, and I mentioned I was going to say the final thing about the bench, but one final thing I'm going to ask about is the main reason ultimately why you have a bathroom is it's got a beautiful toilet and like that space kind of it's in a nice. It doesn't feel restrictive or tight, but it's just a really nice kind of carve in space where you've got that and then some nice shelving to the side of it. It's just a really nice looking design.
Yeah, and so we sort of ended up because we had that big long wall where that tub was, I'm assuming. We got the toilet over there and sort of made a little three walls on three sides, niche area where you I don't like when you walk into a bath and the first thing you see is the toilet.
Yeah.
So we try to do this. I think it's nice. And who doesn't want to be cozy when they're, you know, sitting down reading the paper? So it created a kind of an awkward space between that and the walk-in shower. And we did a couple walls there and did some floating shelves. So homeowners could. I love the look of the floating shelves. It's good storage too, but I think it looks cool.
It looks really cool, and also having it that way. When you mentioned you walk into the bathroom, you're not seeing the toilet, but it also makes that space feel so much larger because you don't have the toilet sitting right in the middle of the room. It's off to the side in a really nice space. Check that out. Head on over to edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's all one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Great website to learn more about Edge Construction. See that project and so many more. Check out their links to House, Pinterest, Facebook as well. And pick up the phone, give them a call, 608-636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. We're talking about a thing involving some lessons that folks have learned when they're renovating their house from someone that's still living in it. We'll get some insight from them. Also get some insight from Mike as well as the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
The Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues now on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction Online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Great website. We talked a bit about the website and some recent projects in that previous segment. Don't forget, you can always listen back to those if you miss any part of today's show. You want to listen back to some of the older shows. All great stuff. Always fun. Just head on over to WIBA.com. Also, edgeconstructioncompany.com. You can find those podcasts there. You can also have your smart speaker play the show as well. And, of course, the website, edgeconstructioncompany.com, has some great projects they've been working on at Edge Construction. If you think about doing some remodeling, pick up the phone, give them a call, 608-636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. And, Mike, you get to one of the fun things is you guys get to work with people day in and day out and help them kind of achieve that kind of that dream space, and that, you know, whether it's an addition or a kitchen remodel, it's always a lot of fun, the planning and the design. And of course, the day you guys say we're done, you get everything back, it's beautiful and everybody's happy. There's that space that's in between. And I think we're going to talk a little bit.
You got the honeymoon up here.
It's courtship and honeymoon. And then there's that kind of that area in the middle. But just, and we'll kind of break down some specifics, but kind of an overall, and I know from doing the show with you over the years, this is something that you want to make, you want homeowners to understand kind of overall that yes, it's going to be beautiful. Yes, it's going to be great. It's everything, but there is going to be a little bit of work and work, literal work and work going on as well. Sometimes homeowners, we don't always think that way about what's going to happen between design and completion. We tend to forget what that experience or not always understand that's going to happen.
Well, I wanted to bring in, I brought in some stuff on, I find this interesting when people will write about remodeling their own house, right? Mm-hmm. And I like, there's a heading here that says, whatever your relationship is like now is exactly what your project will be like, except you're both going to be on fire, yeah. On fire, Sean. So when you hire somebody, it's not that bad, but... Mm-hmm. You are still going to go through some of those same things, you know. You're going to have frustration. You're going to probably not communicate well. Right. Sean, do you always communicate well? You're a communicator. Yeah. You're on the radio.
Yeah. The absolute best communication skills I have happen here. Outside of here, it's I'm a horrible, and I feel bad for my wife. And then
you're on the apology tour.
Yeah.
So. And we laugh, right? But but these are real things, and sometimes, you know, if you watch the makeovers on TV, they, you know, everybody shows up and is in a great mood, and they have everything they need, and yeah, there's little problems, but you know, they have these great calm conversations, and then in a half hour, the whole job is done, whole house is done.
Isn't that amazing?
Everything's it's all no, it's just without a hitch. That is the one thing I love about this old house, mm-hmm. is that, you know, they don't act like it all got done in a, you know, they're on these projects for how long? A year?
Yeah, but it's whole season. Yeah.
Yeah, so whole season, but you can tell a lot of stuff goes on. We routinely have people that we're just in the finishing stages of a basement, and mm-hmm. and Homer told me that, you know, when we went through the upfront process and designed. And we get to budgeting, and you know, they were a little uncomfortable with the number, but you know, it felt like it was their best option, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they were thinking, you know, it's just a basement. Like, what's so hard about a basement? Like, why does it cost so much? Why is it going to take so long? And then after 2 months or so of somebody being in their house pretty much every day, and a lot of times multiple people in there. It's an older house, older ranch house. Pretty much had to rewire the whole house, replumb the whole house to get that basement done, because we're going to cover up a bunch of sins down there. And then we discovered some things. It did make me feel good, because this homeowner was saying, you know, listen, we're shocked at how much work. Like, they're not in construction. Mm-hmm. They've seen a little bit of it, but they were shocked at how much actual work had to happen. So you kind of start to understand it. But on the why is it hard to work on your old house thing, or your own house
yes.
thing, some of the coolest remodels we've done have been for people that did other areas of their house, kind of fought their way through it. You know, it was maybe they bought the house when they were a little younger and their family was younger, and they didn't have the money to come in and hire somebody to just get it done. So they worked at it over years and years. Sometimes they've done really cool stuff to their house and understand the remodel process. So then when we come in, they're going, yep, we get it. We want somebody that understands old houses, and they're aware of the process. They're not thinking it's going to be done in a day, things like that.
Well, and I was going to say, one of the things that, so when you work with you guys, you know, the process, there's a schedule, there's, you know, there is that in-between time. When you're doing it yourself, a couple of things happen. One, you don't always know what you don't know, and when you get going, oftentimes things get slow. The other thing, and Mike, I know you can speak to this as well. When it's your own stuff, things tend to work at a little different pace. So I think I've told you when I was the house I grew up in, my mom really wanted certain parts of the staircase painted, and she wanted them sanded and painted. And one day she got frustrated that it wasn't happening fast enough, so mom removed these pieces, and she was going to take care of himself. Like 5, maybe 7 years later, she ultimately sold the house. Guess what was never done? Those pieces were never put back on. They were down in the basement sitting on a shelf somewhere for the new homeowner to take care of that stuff. But,
we're going to let the next people
do this. Exactly. People, and I don't know people always under, you know, life is busy. I mean, for a homeowner, for everybody, life is busy. But trying to manage life and then trying to do some of this yourself, it's time consuming. It takes a lot, doesn't it?
It does. And okay, I'll use myself an example. So I've got every tool known to man made for this industry. So I have no excuse, right? Christy, my wife.
Yes.
We've been living in the same house for a long time and have remodeled it. It seems like we're always fixing something. When I see we, I mean, you know who. Anyways, I get home, maybe 6, right? So if I'm going to do a project, I've got to unload. I've got to cover floors. I've got to close things off because of the dust. I've got to actually do the work, and then I've got to clean back up. So really, I probably have more time in setting up and cleaning up than actually doing the work. So I might have an hour to do something, and I'm assuming it's the same for everybody. Like if you YouTubed doing your backsplash, right? You got to round up the stuff. You got to get the right mortar. You got to get the grout, the tile, the saw, the all that stuff, and it can be frustrating. And in the meantime, you know, your mom's going, but why are my stairs painted? You know,
yep.
And so it is frustrating. It's hard. People do it. Mm-hmm. There are people that have done a great job of it, and I don't know, maybe they're teachers and have the summer off or something, and they can do it. Some people can do this. They can get after it. My point in bringing up all this stuff is, okay, you're still going to go through all of these things to a lesser extent, hopefully, right? It's not going to be you. The pressure's not on you to get it done. It's on the contractor, but that you're still going to have all these feelings. You're still going to have the frustration. We're hoping it's going to be a lot less. And if you're open and communicate about it, talk to us about it. Don't let it sit on the shelf. Get it out there. You know.
Do you see when people try to DIY some of this stuff? Is you mentioned, you know, you obviously you know this stuff inside and out, but the amount of time it takes, preparation and setup, that seems to be one of, and you probably see this more often than I, is when people do DIY, is oftentimes corners get cut for expediency, is not really realizing that there's a reason why prep and, you know, having that space ready to work really does make a huge difference in the efficiency of the remodel, but also the ultimate result is all those little things that don't seem all that big or all that important at the time really do make a pretty significant impact on the overall project, if that makes sense.
I think, like, if you watch the TV part or the YouTube part, you're going to see a lot of installation, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's kind of, but they don't spend a lot of time on the less sexy parts, you know, the cleanup. Like, who wants to watch? I don't want to watch you clean,
nope.
Sean. or the prep work is so big because so many times homeowners will say, it doesn't seem like much is happening. Like, I said, well, that's the way this is, right? There's so much prep. And then all of a sudden it's going to look like in one day it all happens, right? But it's the prep work that really sets you up, and you just can't cut corners on that side of it.
I think of I think a project that a lot of people have tackled on their own and to varying success, and I personally would put myself in this, is painting a room. And I think one of the things you learn as a homeowner, having painted a couple of rooms, going back to that preparation, is you know at the outcome, you can tell when you walk in a room if this person did it themselves, if they took that time to prep that space, because if it's prepped, it probably looks pretty good. If not, there's all sorts of little things that really quickly become apparent as far as that preparation of that job.
There are, and I'm not picking on anybody's paint job. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'll admit, okay, I'll pick. There's three guys in our company that I would rather have paint my house than myself.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy doing it. I like doing it. I know I'm good at it. I'm just not that good. Like, they're better. And some of it's things that I've picked up from them over the last maybe 5 years. And you talk about prep. They're so specific on the products they use, not just a brush and a roller, although they are that too, but on the paint products. Like, we now buy from probably three of the major manufacturers, and they won't use a ceiling paint from this one because of this, and we like this wall paint over here. And I don't know if everybody would notice those subtle differences, but if you do that right prep work, if you ask most people, now we're coming out of an area. Remember all the bold colors, wall colors from the 90s?
Yes.
Some of those are getting covered up now.
Uh-oh.
And you're not just going over a deep red or purple or something or green with a white paint, right? Mm. You've got to stop that bold color somehow. And so there's prep that's involved. Otherwise, if you just go over it with that wall paint, you're just never going to cover it. It's just always going to be coming through, it seems like. Just too many coats.
You mentioned this old house and kind of how they do things. And there was a recent episode of Ask This Old House that I was watching where they had somebody, a painter, and kind of showing how, like, some of his technique. And you mentioned, you know, you've got some guys on staff that are just phenomenal painters. That is something that I think painting is probably one of those areas where anybody can do it. I mean, we've all had watercolors when we were a kid. We can all apply paint to a wall, but to actually do it well, there's I don't know. There was, and just watching this guy work and how he, you know, the strokes and kind of how he cuts the just these perfectly sharp lines, you're going, that is an art. That is a.
It's not fair.
No, it's not. You're like, how do you do that? But products matter, and that's the other area too that you mentioned is, we think of the brushes and stuff, and you want to get good brushes, but you know, what type of tape are you using to tape it off? And there's a bunch of different types, and having those right things. We're going to talk more about kind of some of these projects, what it's like to DIY compared with working with a contractor, and talk a little bit more about some of those areas that DIYers face, some of the frustrations and things that you don't always think about when you're doing a job yourself. We'll get those details from Mike. We'll do all of that next as the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
You're listening to the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction. Email your questions to edgeconstructionradio@gmail.com. Once again, here's Sean Preble on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction. Always having fun with Mike during the breaks. Always great seeing some of the great projects as well that they do at Edge Construction. Check them out online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Just talking about some of the great work that they do at Edge Construction. You can see some of it on the website. Also links to their Facebook, Pinterest, and Houzz. If you haven't checked out their Houzz page, by the way, that is absolutely amazing. Just head on over to edgeconstructioncompany.com and link right from there. The telephone number is 608-636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. Talking about some lessons learned, somebody shared doing a DIY project. And there are some cases, by the way, where DIY and certain people with certain skill sets may actually be kind of an ideal way to go. It's not that you always need to hire somebody, but I think sometimes people maybe underestimate the task and overestimate our own skill. We all think, I can do that, no problem, right? Yes. We're all guilty.
You're saying you wouldn't want me to start messing around with wires in your control room. No, I'm not a techie at all, so I'd be in big trouble. But
I would tell you to call. You got some good electricians. We'll call them. But that is kind of one of those areas where I think sometimes what's the old thing? You don't know what you don't know, and there's some like real smart person term for that where there's. Where we think we're experts on things that we sometimes just don't know enough information to know that we're not experts on those things. And with doing things with your home, some things that can look very simple can be quite complex, and some things that we think might take an hour or a day might take a couple of days. So with this stuff, we started off talking about when you're working with a contractor, one of the nice things is working with a good contractor is you get a pretty good idea of timelines. And I wonder, Mike, how often you guys are called from people saying, we started this project ourselves, we've been working on it for months, we're not, you know, typically the spouse is kind of frustrated saying, I'm not seeing progress, can I get you guys in, where people don't, they want to save some money, they think they can do it in a short time period, saying, you know what, we need to get some professionals in here because it's taking way too long and we're not seeing the results we like.
It is tough. It's a tough spot for people because all the stuff you can find online and on TV is usually showing putting it back together, right? Yeah. They're not showing the pain and suffering that goes on behind the drywall. And we've had some. There's people that get a little frustrated. You know what? I'm just going to start tearing stuff up. We got one. I think that is in process right now. It's a bathroom where homeowners, it's a pretty good size house. They've got a few other bathrooms, so it's not like they're desperate for it. But I walked in and I thought, how long has it been like this? Because it's basically a room with nothing in it. You know, it's got subfloor, all the plumbing's out, the cabinets are out, it's all gone. And they said, well, when they bought it, they 6 months ago or something, they thought they were going to remodel it. And the process of getting trades in there on your own, most people aren't going to do their own plumbing and electrical, all that, the tougher stuff, the heating stuff. And so it's just hard to get that lined up. And COVID just amplified that, made it tough for even people like us to get things. So it does take longer. I think the frustrating part for them is, we looked at it, came to an agreement, they picked out things. And we said, well, we can't start working for whatever 3 or 4 months on this project because of A, B, and C, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to have all the same problems, probably to a lesser extent, but it doesn't mean we don't have them. We don't go through those things ourselves. It's just when it's not your job, you're not able to devote the time to it. Even in good times when product's readily available and you can get your hands on those things quickly, it's still a tough job to do for yourself, I think. But
do and I know we've talked in the past about all the different permits and those type of do homeowners often realize so as a homeowner,
I feel a loaded question.
If I let's say I'm gonna and I would never do this, but I'm gonna say we're gonna remodel a bathroom. I'm gonna do it myself. I still need all the permits and all the inspections, don't I?
Well, you should, Sean. Yeah. You should. Yeah. I mean, we're not naive enough to know that people don't sometimes try to do this outside the system. I think that happens quite a bit. I do question the guys that are doing the facelift remodel in a day thing. How do they get a inspector in there to look at all this stuff and before it gets all put together? Because it takes, usually they need some notice from us. But I think it's good. We sometimes get approached to do jobs without permits because maybe homeowners have done things in the past without permits. They don't want their sins found out. Like, you know what? I won't do it because I have this saying, I don't want to see my name in the paper.
Yeah.
And plus, this is the time to straighten out those things. If there is something wonky, we're going to fix it. We're not going to leave that there. And get the inspector to look at it, put his stamp on it.
I had asked earlier, but I think it's something to revisit too, is do you often get, is that a common thing where you get people that may start projects and realize, hopefully quickly, that that if it's something that they can't do, we need to bring in professionals. Do you get that quite often?
Quite often, yeah. But it's not like people are going to tear apart their kitchen or start tearing it apart and go, ooh, because you're pretty much fully committed there if you start tearing that guy out. So like that one doesn't That did happen to us in years past, but not lately. But bathrooms, they're seen as a target sometimes. Yeah, I think, you know, it's tough, and I get it. You know, you're looking at it's just a small room. Why does it cost so much to remodel? And I hate giving people the numbers, but a lot happens in there. It's expensive stuff in there. And there's all the things to deal with related to water, you know, behind the wall. So it does add up. So I think that is a tempting one for people.
One of the things, and we started this conversation off, and you were talking about, you know, homeowners kind of wondering about costs. And we're all budget. We all have budgets. I mean, money makes, you know, you've got to watch and understand that. Do you think people after experiencing and seeing what all goes in, like it kind of changes their perspective kind of on the other side of saying, I see now why, you know, you mentioned bathrooms is I was one of those, and I still am naive on most things, but bathrooms in general, I was very naive thinking, smaller space, as you were mentioning, it must be more affordable. Having had the opportunity to talk with you and see all that goes into a bathroom, I see why it is what it is. I mean, do people on the other side say, okay, I get it now as to why this is done the way it is?
I think so, and it's like that basement. We had fixed up all that plumbing down there, and I, you know, sometimes people think, well, and 10 years ago you could do a basement for $30,000-$40,000, and now I think the plumbing bill on that job was $20,000 for the basement. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to give you an idea, 3 years ago for that customer, we were going to build them a new house, and the plumbing bill for the whole new house was $16,000 back 3 years ago. So now it's $20,000 for the basement, and granted, we redid some things for the rest of the house, but still, the numbers are kind of shocking, and it's a combination of product and the labor side. So
there are some amazing things out, like just some really cool. As we started this conversation this week, out talking about some of the really cool projects you guys have done. It's definitely you know, we see the results, and you look at what you guys are able to do. It's definitely a phenomenal thing when it comes to kitchens, baths, you know, additions, those type of things. Make sure you're checking out, of course, Remodeling Online, Edge Construction, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Maybe you've got one of those projects you started, and you're really quickly realizing it's probably something we want to get the professionals in on. Mike and the team would love to help you. All you got to do is pick up phone, give them a call, 608-636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. And again, online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Mike, as always, things just fly by as we start talking.
Always
great seeing you. It does go fast. Again, the website, edgeconstructioncompany.com. This is the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction right here on 1310 WIBA.